And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Paul McNamara joins me. Mr. McNamara, you're running for Congress in the 38th District, which is Santa Monica and Malibu. And welcome to our program.
Always a pleasure, Phil. Thank you.
Tell me about what it is. You are really going to be dealing with the rent control and rents, and this is applicable no matter where people live in America. Renters, how much they pay, how to deal with people who are not homeowners necessarily, and how they can deal with the situation themselves, right?
Right, Phil. We live in very dangerous times, and people need to appreciate what they have, and I don't see that, and that's why I am running for Congress.
Now, you're running to represent the congressional district that encompasses Santa Monica, Malibu.
That is correct. That's the 38th.
What business are you in?
I own rental property. I speculate in real estate, and that's it's a good question because no one knows better than me the pressures on property owners, especially those of us who own rental property. You're paying a lot in property tax. Dealing with renters can be a challenge.
Well, property management, so on and so forth.
Well, not only that, but one of the properties that I own is an apartment complex about four blocks from the beach in Santa Monica, and I'll tell you, the people that live there are getting a great deal. It's a great deal. I'm happy for them, but at the same time, I'm sort of laughing through my tears because they're locked into their rents. And I mean, these places that I rent, that I charge, I say to myself, I almost resent it. You know, it feels like I'm getting royally tooled. But
well, what are the rents that you charge?
Well, they go from $2,000 to $3,500 a month, and it's a great price. I mean, a great price.
But you feel resentful?
I did, and then I decided that one of the ways I can ease the sting of the property tax and the low rent, and I think this addresses the problem of people not appreciating what they have, it also addresses the problem of the inherent problem of renters, and I'm not saying that people that rent are not good people and hardworking people, but they rent, which means they don't have the same respect for the property that the property owner has. They generally are going to come from a kind of an income tax bracket that is not as appreciative of property. And what I instituted about 6 months ago is something that hopefully every landlord will institute. What I do is, in exchange for the great low rent that my tenants pay for a great location, and the fact in truth, they don't really care about me and my problems.
Well, how far is your apartment complex from the beach?
We're about 5-6 blocks.
So in Santa Monica, 6 blocks from the beach, you're paying $2,500 to $3,500 a month?
That is correct, and if you check around, that is a steal. Now, I've requested from time to time that my renters help me out, whether it is...
How?
Well, I could be anything. I've got a gentleman who is one of our lower units with a patio and a barbecue. He's paying $2,500 a month, which is, honest to goodness, Phil, it's like stealing. And I've asked him if he could see to getting my car washed, or if he wants to, he can do. One of my other tenants is this gal with a son who I suppose is on some kind of oxygen. I'm not familiar with the...
Is it cystic fibrosis? The kids have a problem breathing?
I believe that's it, yes. And the sea air is good for him, and she's getting this great rent. But again, what about me and the problems I'm dealing with? I don't want this to be all about me, but she gets to have this great rent and live there, and I'm not getting anything. So I have suggested, for instance, that she can do my shirts. There is another elderly woman that I've suggested she come in and cook. It's very unusual, but it's a way of dealing, Phil, with a problem we've had for a long time. Renters who are getting away with paying very low rent in beautiful locations, and the person who owns the property is not exactly making the kind of dollar that he wants to make. So I've suggested that simple ways that we can all appreciate what we have and ways we can help, in my case, the property tax.
All right, it's unusual. Are you campaigning on this?
Well, there's a variety of issues, obviously, Phil, but this is one of them, absolutely. And I think it's important to know that property owners, those of us who are landlords, are able to, if we are going to be manhandled this way in these rents, we're not being able to charge us more rent, then we have to get something in return. And I think putting renters to work this way is a great way of all of us appreciating what we have.
All right, Paul McNamara joins me. He's running for Congress, the 38th Congressional District. He is suggesting that one of the ways that property owners and landlords can get around not being able to charge higher rents is that they have their tenants do odd jobs, things like that?
It is a way of helping the landlord, the property owner, which is me, help me maximize my dollar. If I cannot, I'm going to be paying out, Phil, for a $3 million piece of property, something like in the neighborhood of $25,000 in property tax. And how do I get that back? The renters, I think, can do these things. They can do them once a month in a rotating business, whether it is coming in and doing some cooking for me or taking my car in to get it serviced, even if it's something as simple as standing in line at the DMV.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Paul McNamara, congressional candidate, on renters, people that rent apartments or rent homes, and how they can help out the landlord or the property owner with the enormous property tax they're paying by, it sounds to me like, doing odd jobs. And let me ask something, Paul. How's doing odd jobs for the landlord?
Primarily for the property owner, yes. This is not to necessarily, they're not working for nothing. They're working for the property owner who is getting absolutely axed by Uncle Sam. I mean, it's as if Uncle Sam, I saw a film the other night, I enjoyed it, I didn't enjoy it for the wrong reasons. I think it's an interesting Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah, I did.
It's almost as if the federal government is taking a chainsaw right to my face, and I can't live this way. And so,
well, look at how specifically, Paul, does this help with the property tax that you pay?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, I pay $23,000 on a $3 million property. That's a pretty steep number. So if I can get my tenants to pitch in and help out, it decreases not so much the money I pay, but it decreases the aggravation of everyday life, getting shirts done, and this, so on and so forth.
But you're having renters do this. You say because they aren't paying enough in rent?
Well, beyond that, this is something that if I'm fortunate enough to be elected in the 38th Congressional District race, I can propose that renters begin to pay their share and begin to conduct themselves in a manner that's more like one who has ownership of the property.
So this is aimed at dealing with renters. And isn't this kind of a traditional view that renters are, I don't want to use the word scum, but isn't that the attitude?
Well, I'm not using that word either, Phil.
No, I'm not saying that you are, but that renters are somehow of a lower class?
No, I wouldn't even say that. I would say that renters do not understand money the way those of us who are property owners do. And renters have traditionally, on average, paid lower rent than they should. Renters, because they do not own, are high risk. They don't generally leave the property in the best condition. They lack a sense of responsibility. And by having them do different chores around the apartment complex...
Would this be a daily thing?
Well, it could be weekly. For instance, Tuesday could be, you know, if you were one of my tenants, Tuesday could be your day to clean the pool, the way I do it, because most of my renters are elderly. We have them on a weekly rotation, cooking my meals, getting my shirts done, grocery pickup, picking up meat at the butcher shop. I've got a dog that needs to be walked.
You're going to get some argument that this isn't appropriate, especially for elderly tenants. You've got elderly tenants coming in and doing, you know, your shirts.
Well, Phil, that's why I'm running for Congress.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's something that elderly folks who are retired and on a fixed income...
Well, I think it helps them, though. If you take the average elderly renter in the United States who is on a fixed income, and you don't necessarily want to raise the rent on that person, because I'm as much a liberal, I guess, Phil, when it comes to that kind of thing as anybody... But I'm not going to just sit there and take it.
Well, when you say sit there and take it, it's the federal government that's taxing you. It's the state, actually, that's taxing you.
Well, but again, someone is going to have to step up to the plate. And if I can get one of my tenants, one of the older people who can take in some washing or something, this helps me out immensely. I've got an accountant in my area. We can do some books for me. The elderly people don't scrub. I tell you what they can do. I have a yacht. It's not a yacht, but it's a sailboat, and it does get a little bit of barnacle crustacean on the bottom of it. If I can get one of these folks to go down and scrub it off the bottom of the boat, That would be great, but I don't have them do that. I leave that job for professionals, so it's not like I'm asking them.
Well, I don't see how an elderly man is going to go down under a boat and scrub barnacles off of it.
I'm not saying that he's doing that, but I'm saying it would be nice, because it costs an awful lot. But I relish a fight, Phil. That's why I'm running for Congress, and I look forward to the fight, and the issue is important. When are we going to stop renters? And many of them are great people, but when are we going to stop renters getting away with murder?
Paul McNamara joins me. He's talking about renters and how they are not paying as much in rent as they should. As a matter of fact, he owns an apartment complex four blocks from the beach, charging $2,500 to $3,500 a month. I should have asked him how many bedrooms that represents. But it is his feeling that rather than jack the rent on a lot of renters, because some of them are on fixed income, some of them are on... what do they call it, Janice, rent limits or rent control, that he would have his tenants do different jobs. He mentioned doing his shirts, taking his car to the mechanic, standing in line at the DMV, picking up his dry cleaning, this kind of thing. And this idea that he also owns some kind of a sailboat, which gets barnacles on the bottom of it. And it was his idea to have one of the people scrub the barnacles off the bottom of his boat. But most of these are elderly people. Is it time for renters to start to kick in and pay their fair share, or are they not paying their fair share, or are they? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. When the truth just isn't enough. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Rent control and whether or not it should exist. Rents, are they too little? And are people who own property, are landlords getting screwed? Paul McNamara is with us. And I'm not using language that you would use, Paul.
I don't think being screwed is the way to say it, Phil. I think renters are... They don't know the damage they're doing, really. I think they... Because they rent, don't have a real conception of property and property tax. I think they just, in many ways, people who rent are like gypsies. But let me move on to what we're excited about. For renters to do different jobs around the apartment complex, it means that they are working off the good rent that they're getting, and they're helping out their landlord.
You're not giving them a rent break?
No, I wouldn't give them a rent break. They're already getting a rent break. The rent that they're paying is good rent. It's not difficult for... I've got a woman in Treacy. It's one of my apartments here who is... She picks up my girlfriend's dry cleaning once a week. A gentleman over in one of our D complexes armor all the leather seats. I've got a beautiful Porsche that he will armor all the seats for me. There's an elderly couple in I-3 who shampoo the hall carpets. We've got a young man on the little boy who has the fibrosis that you were talking about.
Cystic fibrosis?
He is absolutely, he's thrilled to pick the, he works and gets the gum off the front steps. All of this together means that renters are finally going to begin to pull their weight, I guess, more than anything else.
This can't possibly endear you to renters.
Oh, I don't think they've got a problem at all. I think that they understand. Well, it doesn't matter whether it endears me to them or not, to answer your question. I'm the one that has Uncle Sam coming to the door every year, and he's got a smile on his face, and he's got a bottle of Lubriderm.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Tanya. Tanya, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, Tanya.
I was just listening on the radio and everything, and I understand that this man is running for congressman and all this kind of stuff. I would just like to say that I think that this man is a most selfish person, first of all, because the elderly, they've already put in this time. They don't need to have to do your chores to help you out. You apparently you have plenty of money, and you've got a yacht and all this kind of stuff. So why are you making older people, you know, have to work your chores and do all this kind of stuff? I think that
it's
is so unfair of you.
It's a good question.
That it just
Paul, what do you say to that?
It makes me so mad. I would really like to
say
more than I'm saying right now on the radio.
All right, Paul, what do you say to that?
Well, let me just step in, Tanya, and say, don't be swayed, Tanya. I know I'm like you. I start to feel sorry for a lot of these elderly people. But believe me, they've got the last nickel that they ever, you know, they got the first nickel they ever made. And we like to say they got the short arms and the deep pockets. Don't feel too sorry for a lot of these people. They pretend like they're eating cat food and this kind of thing, and who knows, late at night, you know, 2 a.m.
No. Let me interrupt you. First
yes,
of all,
yes, ma'am.
You are a very selfish person. Okay?
No, ma'am.
If
I am trying to make
you need to have elderly people that are trying every that is on a fixed income, okay? My mother is on a fixed income right now, and she can't even get
a lot of them say
she
they
has
are.
To pay $150 for one little bottle of medicine.
Well, that's
and here
what they
you
say.
Are. You're wanting these people to do your chores for you? What kind of person are you?
No, ma'am, but here's the
there
thing.
There is no way
when
I
they
would ever
say,
vote on you.
If they say they're on a fixed income, how
no,
do you
I know
for
a fact?
How
I know
a lot
of these people are on fixed income.
Look, if you rented one of my apartments, I can tell you, if you wanted to stay, what I would want you to do
is... I wouldn't live from you.
All right, but let's forget about you.
I won't even vote for you.
Well, ma'am, I'm in the 38th Congressional District. I'd like you to consider my candidacy, because if, for instance, you rented for me, or let's say your mother did, it's not a difficult thing to pick leaves off the roof in the eaves. You can do it. It takes 5 minutes.
Now, are you saying you'd have this woman's mother picking leaves?
Are you kidding me? For elderly people. You know, you've got enough money, apparently, that you're fine, okay? Why don't you get off your lazy butt and you get out there and pick up the leaves and you pick up the gum off the porches and you do all that kind of stuff?
They've
already did their due.
I've done all these jobs. What I'm saying is the state of California is taking more than a fair share of property tax from me. How do I make up for that? If I can get a little boy who is a beautiful little boy and I ask him to scrape the gum off the steps, or, you know...
You're not talking about little boys. You're talking about elderly people.
Yes.
Okay?
These elderly people,
they are on fixed incomes, and I'm telling you right now, they can't even afford their medicine.
I think a lot of them...
Congressmen are people that want to be congressmen like you.
Ma'am, no, you're wrong. I think a lot of these people, they fake eating cat food.
If you want to do something for elderly people...
Well, I want to jump in.
Hold on for a minute. Give them where they can get Medicaid.
Tanya,
and sick care. And
these
have their prescription gave to them.
I tie your mother to a safety rope. She would not be in any danger. We get her to scrape the leaves out of the gutters, and it's over in 5 minutes.
You know what? My mother is in a wheelchair right now. She can't even go to the bathroom without wheeling herself to the bathroom.
That's what she wants you to believe, yes. That's what she wants you to believe.
And she is on a fixed income.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that this...
She can't even afford her medicine right now.
We can hoist her up with pulleys.
Well, wait a minute. I want to find out. Are you saying...
How am I sick?
If somebody voted on you, they'd be crazy as hell.
Ma'am, I can tell you right now that a lot of these elderly people fake it. Are you sure she can't walk?
You know what?
Are you sure she can't walk?
You are such a bogus person.
Well, if I'm bogus, I can tell you this much. Your grandmother, your mother, whoever you're speaking of, needs to be checked out so that she's not manipulating her younger people into feeling sorry for her. So this is what I stand for. I'm standing against these elderly people that are faking it. All right.
You know what?
They pretend like they're eating cat food. It's probably tuna. Who knows? They pretend like they're cripples and they're doing cartwheels. If anybody voted on you to be a congressman, they would be out of their mind. I hope you consider my candidacy in 38th Congressional
There's
District.
No way I consider you. Actually,
ma'am, I appreciate you,
know what? You
talking to me.
Actually, you know what I'm
What's
inclined
that?
To do?
What's that?
I'm
nice?
Inclined to go on a campaign to tell people how ignorant you
well,
are.
I'm... You call me ignorant, but you believe your mother's crippled, okay?
All right, Tanya, thank you. I just lost her. Are you saying the old people...
You hear a lot of these elderly people say, I'm on a fixed income, okay? You hear a lot of elderly people say they can't do this, they can't do that. I think a lot of them are faking it to get our sympathy. When we put them to work in our apartment complex, I got a gentleman who's 83 years of age, and I said to him, I said, Harley, I want you, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like you to do some painting around here. Because you know and I know that you're not eating cat food. You're pretending like you're eating out of a sheep again.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Paul McNamara joins us, talking about his congressional run. His congressional run in the 38th district. You are saying that renters need to do more because they're not paying fair rent. The landlords are getting screwed.
Well, again, Phil, I don't want to use the word screwed, but I will tell you that we're not making. I think the fair monies we should. The state of California is taking out of us. The federal government's taking out of us. And the idea of doing this kind of work fair where renters can do some odd jobs around the apartment complex.
Well, you're talking about elderly people.
Well, I'm talking about many of our elderly who, I'm not saying all of our elderly are like this, but many of them are individuals who want to get your sympathy. I'm on a fixed income. And I can tell you right now, and this idea that, you know, they're supping from a can of Calcan, this is ridiculous.
Well, hold on for a minute. I've got Lloyd calling in, who is a senior citizen. Lloyd, you live on a fixed income?
No, sir, I'm not. I am a Korean War veteran, and I'm retired. I live on my own pension. But I wanted to direct my comments to this Mr. McNamara, if I could.
Yes, sir.
I don't know, sir, if you've ever seen a fellow vet, and I don't know if you served in the United States military or not.
No, sir, it was not my honor.
All right, well, it was my great honor. And I don't know if you know what it's like to see a dear friend of yours answer the door wearing a... with a napkin.
Are you okay, sir?
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, sir,
I want to finish what I'm saying. A fellow veteran, Mike Hal Jenkins, who was on the Enterprise with me, answered the door one day with a napkin in his collar, and he had a can of tender victuals with a fork, and he's looking at me like, oh, hi, Lloyd, how are you? In other words, he didn't even know that what he was doing was an abomination. And if you could check the protein value on tender victuals as opposed to Sheba, you could...
Well, are you saying you're... friend should have been eating Sheba?
No, sir, I am not, but I'm saying that the situation money-wise was so...
Well, I'd like to jump in here, Phil, if I could.
No, sir, I want to make my point.
No, I'd like to jump in. You say your friend was eating tender vittles. I don't know the nutritional. All I'm saying is a lot of these elderly are faking it.
Well, I'll tell you, he wasn't faking it because that was a kid. Oh, man, if I could come over there right now, I'd make you eat tender vittles right out of my you-know-what. Just as if it was a chip bowl. And I tell you...
Well, is the caller there?
Yes, I'm here. But I'm so upset, Mr. Henry.
Well, look, the idea of seniors having to eat cat food is absolutely a tragedy, for the proportions of which I can't even comment on that. And you're certainly right. We need to be able to help those people.
And I am proposing to help them, Phil. I am proposing. I am asking them to clean leaves out of the gutter, do some painting, and lay tile in my bathroom.
But you're not giving them a break on the rent. They're laying tile in the bathroom.
But they get to live here. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I get it. So you're saying that because they can live there, that they've got to scrape this... I suppose they've got to go into your toilet and wipe it, to wipe the bowl down. Is that it? Right after you've been to Mexico? I think you know what I'm talking about, because it gets the little splash marks. And...
What happened?
It sounds like he slipped. I think he slipped or something.
Hello? Is the caller there?
Oh, sweet God. Don't let me die now. I've got more to say to this piece of crap.
Is the caller there? Are you there, sir?
Let me tell you something right now. I take kibbles and bits over tender vittles any day. I went down. He said, Carl, you hold on. I'm getting you kibbles and bits. And
then oh, sweet gun.
What the hell?
Mr. Henry, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is this some kind of a comedy show that I'm on? Because, you know...
Well, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
Well, because that man doesn't sound real to me. He's falling down the stairs twice. He's saying that, hey, why don't you get some kibbles and bits instead of some tender fiddles? I'm saying, Mr. Henry, that I don't believe average senior citizens are getting up in the middle of the night and saying, well, I think I'll go down and grab a snack. Ah, look, Sheba gourmet tuna. It ain't happening. And I'll let...
You what, Mr. McNamara? I almost cried when I said goodbye to Carl, and all he could say was meow. And then, oh, God.
You know what?
Don't hang up on me. I'm not doing shtick.
No, get out of here. All of you guys suck. 10 minutes out of cat food. We got 10 minutes worth of material out of old people eating cat food. Tender vittles, Sheba, and kibbles and bits. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I wish this gentleman would get his story straight. I mean, somebody's offering help.
What have I said, ma'am, that has not been true?
Sir, you said that your wife passed away 2 years. People are trying to give you help, and you're asking them, the attorney, what religion he is? Does that make any sense? And you're
going
to ask your wife what she thinks? I thought she had passed away 2 years ago.
Yes, she did.
So who are you going to ask? The Holy Ghost?
Because when I pray at night, I talk to her.
And oh, for crying out loud. And you need money for $150 to buy your son sneakers when you have a sick child? You know, my husband and I are driving and listening to the show, and we listen to you, and we were saying, oh, poor guy. You know, we have kids.
You have $150 sneakers you need for your son, John, or I forget, is it named Paul?
My son is...
He should get the name straight. That's another thing. He can't get the kid's name straight.
Ma'am, I know my children like I know every hair on my head, as the Lord said in the Bible. And my
you know what? Maybe you should read the Bible over again, because I think you're kind of confused.
No, ma'am.
I think what's most important, what's more important than your kid's health? A pair of shoes for your son?
My son will have to go to school.
They're offering you $20, and you're saying you're asking the girl to borrow money from her parents when she's trying to offer you what she can afford?
My son has a club foot and needs those shoes.
I'm sorry, you don't need $150 pair of sneakers because your son needs those shoes. You need medication.
So all of a sudden you're a doctor now.
I'm trying to give you help.
My son plays basketball and needs the shoes so he can get a scholarship.
That's an excuse. He can get any pair of shoes. They don't have to be Nike Airs. I have two kids of my own.
Rita, you made a point. Rita, you need to turn the radio down too, Rita, okay? I need to make a point. Did you say your wife is dead?
Yes. No, I didn't.
He mentioned his wife was dead.
I said, no, she is not dead. I said, yes, she is not dead, is what I said.
You said what?
I said, yes, she's not dead.
But you mentioned earlier in the show that your wife had passed away 2 years ago. That's what I'm saying. You should get your story straight.
Ma'am, my wife did pass away. I speak to her in prayer.
Okay, but you also said she's been at B of A looking to get a loan on your home equity.
Exactly.
In my wife told me in my prayers that she had been to B of A.
Look, buddy, I think you should
today
get your story straight. We're going through hard times. Everybody's going through hard times. Me personally, I have a lot of problems, and I don't call the radio making it seem like you are.
No, ma'am,
if you really have a sick child,
then
maybe
money.
You should get your story straight.
I don't want
$20 is not going to help. What happens if 150 people call offering you $20? You're going to turn them down?
Ma'am, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you going to call up and yell, or do you have money?
No, it's just that you should get your story straight, because if you really need the help and you have a sick child, I'm sure half of the world will be willing to help. But
because
you're asking this girl, who's willing to give you $20 of her hard-earned money,
to
borrow money from her parents because $20 is not enough for you?
That's all I said. I said if you could get me another $10. That's all I said.
But don't you think that's kind of ridiculous that she's offering her help?
Well, that's a good
point.
She's
been unemployed also.
This lady was unemployed. This girl was unemployed. She offered you $20 of her money that she didn't have a job.
Well, can I make a suggestion? This lady that I'm talking to now could give me 20, and that girl could call back with another 10.
Well, how about you going out and getting a job like I'm working? I'm a very hardworking person.
Because I just lost my job. I just lost my job. My daughter.
You know how many people out there have lost their job? Maybe if you would have been honest enough and said the truth when you got on radio
station. I'm telling the truth. I have
your story doesn't seem to be.
Why did you say your wife passed away 2 years? Why did you say your wife passed away 2 years ago?
My wife passed a kidney stone 2 years ago which put her in the hospital. If that's what you confused what I said with, okay.
You said your wife passed a kidney stone?
That's what I said, yes.
You said your daughter had leukemia, then you said she had a brain tumor, then you said she had something else. You're not getting your story. It's not very... I don't know.
I don't mean to insult you, but can I ask you a question?
I don't feel insulted. If I was the girl that called offering you the $20, I would feel insulted.
Well, are you going to donate or what? I mean, are you just going to talk me to death? Because
The lady is offering some points that I think need to be made here, Don. We feel for you and for your plight.
I appreciate that, but she's like, I mean, I'm going to get blown over by the wind here.
No, it's just that I'm riding home with my kids and my husband.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're listening to your story because we have kids of our own.
Okay.
And I'm telling my husband, wow, honey, you know, we're going through hard times, but this guy's really going through really hard times.
And I am.
We can offer him help.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
Then I hear you changing your story every 2 seconds, and you know what? It just doesn't cut it for
my
me.
Daughter,
I work very hard for my money.
All right, I want to ask a question. What is the name of your daughter?
Claire.
Which, the daughter who has leukemia?
Now you have me confused, okay?
How can you get confused when it comes to your kid's name? See, it's very hard to believe your story.
My daughter's name is Samantha.
All right. What disease does she have, sir?
She has a brain tumor.
Then why did you say she had leukemia?
If I did, I was confusing it with a brain tumor. That's all.
Do you know what leukemia is, sir?
I thought it was a brain tumor. I'm sorry, sir.
Leukemia is a blood... It's the cancer of the blood.
All right, sir.
You thought leukemia was a brain tumor?
Yes, I did.
Now, okay.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter is... She's 22.
22? She was 9 a little while ago. Wasn't she? Or maybe I'm listening to her.
No, you misheard it. She's 22.
No, I heard 9, too. I
you
heard
have
nine.
A 4-year-old, you have a 7 well, or 6-year-old and a 9-year-old.
You told,
now
you
she's 22?
No, you also said that you thought she passed away, and I said she passed a kidney stone.
You know,
I just want my
daughter. Get a story straight here.
Ma'am,
I'm not
my story
crazy,
is straight.
He is.
All right, but have you got, how much, do you have any money you're going to give me?
No, buddy, you want money for a job, like
but
I'm
my,
working.
My doctor,
you know what, you're using these people on the radio station to make a profit out of
no,
them.
No, ma'am. Ma'am, could I tell you something? I have.
Yeah, go ahead. You can tell me anything you want.
I have a doctor who I respect very much. He's a Cuban doctor, but he has a very thick accent. He has a very, ma'am, are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right, he has a really thick accent.
And
so when he says brain tumor, I thought he said leukemia. And if that.
Oh, for crying out loud. There's a big difference between a brain tumor and leukemia. I mean,
I
don't know what school you went to,
Yes, ma'am, but he has a thick accent.
No, I'm Cuban, and
okay.
I have an accent.
But, no,
and
you
there's
speak
a big
very
difference
well.
Between...
No, you speak very well, but my doctor...
There's a big
is...
difference between a brain tumor
and
leukemia.
Wait a minute. Your doctor is Cuban. He has a thick Spanish accent.
Yes, sir. And he said, you know, I can't say it the way he says it because I can't do it, but he said... You know, Claire has leukemia, and I thought he said Samantha had a brain tumor.
Even if he said it in Spanish, from leucemia.
Wait a second.
Un tumor en el cerebro is very different.
That's exactly what he just said. That's exactly what he said.
Okay, well,
okay,
it's really...
that's exactly what he said.
Wait a minute. You took your daughters in for physicals.
Yes, sir.
To a Cuban doctor that does not speak English.
No, ma'am, I never said that. I said he speaks English with a very thick accent, ma'am.
So you're just saying I told you in Spanish what the diagnoses were in Spanish, and you said that's exactly what he said.
Yeah,
so
because I don't know what
your
said.
Doctor doesn't speak any English.
He came out and he said, Samantha has a brain tumor, and you thought it meant Claire has leukemia.
So
or
who's
something
Claire?
Like that, yeah. I'm sorry, ma'am?
Who's Claire?
That's my daughter.
I thought your daughter's name was Samantha.
Yes, one of them. I have 3 daughters, one
oh,
Samantha.
Oh, now it's 3 daughters. I thought you had 2 daughters and a boy.
I have 3. I have 2 daughters and a boy. My son is, and I this is tough for me to admit. My son's effeminate sometimes.
Come on!
Wait a minute, man.
You're
sick.
No, ma'am. All I'm saying.
Come on, pal. What do you mean your son's effeminate?
Yeah, he's gonna say that his son's a.
Ma'am, no, ma'am. I did not say. I said sometimes he is a.
Oh, he's a feminist. What's the difference?
Well, my daughter Carly had a brain tumor. My daughter Amanda has leukemia, and my.
And
daughter...
now your son's a. Now he goes by the name of Claire.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some bean dip.
Four. 949-8686. The Bill Henry Show is back. Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Lady, I honestly believe she needs some serious psychiatric help. I don't know why
she's still walking the streets. Because I'm against war.
You should be in jail for child abuse is what you should be.
You know,
I have a child myself. I have not seen her. I can understand your loss for your son. I have a daughter myself who I have not seen in approximately 5 years because the mother took off to another province.
Well, maybe. Well, if there wasn't a restraining order on you.
There is no restraining order on me.
The man's wife took off with his kid.
Well,
she kidnapped my daughter.
Let me say this, Chris.
You to say that you know what's better for our children, I guess because you lost a son, you know better than anybody does. Well, what about the 3,000 people that were killed in the buildings that were in New York City during the World Trade Center when the planes flew into it? You're against war on Iraq. There's a lot of people against the war. But quite honestly, I'm for the war. Would you rather have these flying more planes into buildings, killing 3,000 or 4,000 more people than women, children?
I am trying to help our children. I'm trying to help our children. And I don't think it's child abuse.
And you think our armed forces is not trying to help our children or help our society by stopping Iraq from even attempting to attack us?
Wait a second. Why can't you find... Did you say it's your daughter that you can't find?
I don't even know where she is.
Well, have you looked?
What is that, a smart comment?
Over and over and over.
I don't think you've looked hard enough.
Well, I have. I'm still searching. I haven't stopped the search. I've got my name all over the internet, but that's irrelevant.
Good
the point
you,
that I'm trying to make here.
Do you work in the circus?
Pardon? No, I do not.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chris.
I just, my plain out simple comment is
right.
I believe in what they're doing in Iraq.
Yes,
I have no problem with the war on them.
Yes, sir.
Some things need to be done.
Right, yes, sir.
Well, you know something, Chris? I think I know better than you. You see,
well, I don't think you do. I think the 3,000 people, the innocent children and women and fathers that were killed in the World Trade Center attacks know better than you do.
The who?
The 3,000 people that were killed in the World Trade Center attacks. I think they would know a lot better than you do.
Sir, I just found out, are you from Canada?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. Well, there's only 200 or 300 people in Canada. Why can't you find your kid?
There's...
Hello?
Lady, you are unreal.
Well, I'm sorry. How many people are in Canada?
There's more than 300. There's like 30 million people, isn't there, Chris?
Yes, there is.
25 million?
As far as land-wise goes, Canada happens to be the largest country in North America, or the world, for that matter.
Well, but still, my understanding was there was only 300.
There's millions. Millions. And the man's looking for his daughter, and his wife took off with his daughter. I feel terrible for you, sir.
But most of the people that live there are Eskimo, and they don't
care. I have a family. My uncle was killed by a drunk driver in a car accident, so I know what it's like to lose a loved one to a car accident. I also have my entire family that's in the Army.
Was it an Eskimo?
They come from a long line in the armed forces. And I'm quite proud of them putting their life on the line to give me my rights and my freedom.
Well, that's my father was in the Canadian Army, Chris.
Was your uncle an Eskimo is what I'm trying to find out.
What do you mean, was your uncle an Eskimo?
What kind of... I don't even understand these questions. You can't even rationalize what you're saying.
No, I'm trying to understand what it is. Are you Native?
No, I'm not.
All right.
You mean Indian?
Yeah.
She means an Indian. That's what they call them in Canada.
That's fine.
Were you hit by a moose? What happened?
What happened was I went to school, I got educated, and I have an intelligence level that knows that there is a lesser of all evil.
Can I ask you something, Chris? Your uncle died from a drunk driver, correct?
Yes, he did.
Was the man who killed him an Eskimo in a Cadillac Escalade?
No, he was not.
Okay, thank you.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Bill Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Extremism. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Big day. I'm just speaking with David G. Hall, who's the Vice President of Syndication. I know you're celebrating, David, that you're finally tying the knot with your lady Gretchen. I just was going to let our audience in on it.
I appreciate that very much, Phil. It's also a great opportunity, I think, when an employer or a boss, if you want, announces that he's getting married. It's a great opportunity to, I guess, for the people that work for him to show their respects and their loyalty when you have good reason to. And of course, Gretchen and I, we finally set the date.
And again, congratulations. And David,
thank you, Phil, for that.
Let me ask you something. She is a gal that I know she's a lady that you've worked with closely in the radio business. Is that important? I mean, someone that you work with as opposed to someone you meet in a bar?
Well, of course.
Because I've heard it said the best people are people we meet through work or maybe through a common interest.
Well, she is a great gal. I'm very lucky. When you talk about work, she's a very beautiful girl. I think she's very charming. And you've seen her, correct?
I have. Yes, I have.
And I know that you know she's very beautiful. Because
yes, she is.
It's important because if you think my fiance, if you think or the other men in the office think that she's beautiful, one would hope that certainly that you'd say so to me. And
well, she's very lovely. I don't want to give you the impression that I don't think she's lovely. It's just I wanted to ask you questions.
Well, then I'd appreciate if you'd say that she's beautiful. That's number one.
And I believe she is a lovely girl.
But number two, when your boss announces that he's engaged or that he is dating a woman, you need to say it in a way that shows some respect. And the way to do that is you say, David or Mr. Hall or whoever the gentleman is, my compliment, she's a very beautiful woman. Those are the two things, you know, knowing that my fiance is beautiful.
Well, the things that I wanted to ask you about, though, is how you came about meeting her through work, you know?
Yeah. And I did meet her through work. But again, the two most important things, I think, when I'm trying to stress here, you work for me.
Right.
So what you say is, you know, she's very beautiful, and my compliments to you. So those are the two things, knowing that my fiancée is beautiful and showing me respect by acknowledging it. And again, I wanted to make sure you believe that she's beautiful.
Yes, I think she's a very lovely girl.
And what does Chris or have you talked to Chris and Mark?
What, Chris?
I think she's very attractive.
She's very attractive. Mark thinks she's attractive.
Let me explain some to you guys.
Are you saying this is not happening around the office?
Well, I walk into the office with her. Now she's 28. She's 5'5", about 102 pounds. People have compared her looks to Carmen Electra, and the sense that I get from the staff in programming, some of the people in sales, is that a lot of these guys don't think she's hot. And
why do you feel that way?
Well, because they haven't said to me, again, it goes back to the second point I was making, Mr. Hall, my compliment, she's very beautiful.
Yeah, but why is that important?
Well, you need to know, I've worked long and hard as a radio programmer. There was a time when the women that I dated were not terribly attractive. And a lot of them I did date for sexual reasons, only which I'm not proud of that, but I've attained some success in this business.
But why is it important for the guys in the office to say your fiance?
Look, she's if you've seen Gretchen, she's about 5'5", 102. She looks an awful lot like Carmen Electra. And when you work for me, because of who I am in the broadcast business, respect is important.
Well, all right, so you're talking about showing a man respect by complimenting him on the beauty and the charm of his woman or fiance.
That's right. And the other aspect of this, if no one says to me, my compliments, she's very beautiful, then you begin to doubt. And any man would doubt about the attractiveness of your fiance. You start to second-guess yourself. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, but now you're saying, well, I don't want to get into a philosophical.
I didn't intend to either.
But you're saying that you don't know whether she's beautiful or not unless other guys say so, right?
Well, look, Marilyn Monroe used to be the standard. Then it changed to a thinner woman, Barbara Eden. Then it changed again to the wholesome look of Farrah Fawcett. Then it became Heather Locklear, who was wholesome and intelligent. Now it's Halle Berry and Pamela Lee. In order to have a beautiful woman in your life, you need to know what's beautiful. What is beauty? You know,
Well, it's what is in the eye of the beholder, right?
It's the reason why I could tell you.
How do you do it? How do you know what's a beautiful? All I wanted to say is, you know,
Let me tell you how I know what a beautiful woman is. You go through magazines. You watch E! You watch Entertainment Tonight. You see what I'm saying? And if you walk into a restaurant and you realize that you're with a woman that isn't beautiful, she might have been last month, but this month, I was dating an African-American woman for 6 months during that whole Pam Grier renaissance until I would go with her to a party, and nobody was saying, you know, my compliments, how beautiful she is, and you're faced with a moment where the two of you got to agree not to see each other. That's all I'm saying.
All right, David G. Hall is with us. He's the vice president of syndication for our show, but really we're talking about a highly personal thing. You're engaged to Gretchen, and I want to compliment you on that. And, you know, and from what you've been saying, I do want to compliment you on how beautiful she is.
Do you believe she's beautiful? That's the only point I'm trying to...
Yeah, she's attractive.
Well, you know, you're qualifying it.
She's an attractive woman. But anyway, what we're talking about here is the idea that men don't know what beautiful is unless they see it in a magazine.
No, look. The reason why we have models and we have men's magazines such as Playboy or D-Cup or something like that is so you know what's beautiful. Otherwise, you know, you're and I don't want to be vituperative here, but you're stuck with a, to use the old word, you're stuck with a dog.
All right, let me give a number out here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I mean, we're just shooting a breeze here, talking about... I want to say my compliments to you, David. She's a very beautiful woman.
All right, and you believe that?
Yeah, Chris, did you say you think she's beautiful?
She's very attractive.
She's very attractive.
But you guys are saying... In other words, you're not saying she's beautiful, you're saying she's attractive. And
well, what is beautiful? I mean, beautiful is what is beautiful? It's, what is it? You know,
it's beautiful is what it is. I'll tell you what beautiful is. Beautiful is Carmen Electra. That's what she looks like. That's what I've been telling you. Now, why can't you guys say that?
But the better question is, why don't you just know she's beautiful? Why do you need...
Why do we have... Do I got to go back on this again? The reason why we have magazines, gentlemen's magazines, supermodels, models on television, is to let us know what's beautiful. It's to let other women know what's beautiful.
But I can say to you, for instance, a guy who's out with a woman or married to a woman who isn't all that great... There's a lot of guys married to women that may be a little heavy set, they may be a little plain...
But those are guys that can't get beautiful women. I'm talking about a gentleman like myself. I have position. I do have a certain amount of money. There's one thing that'll get you a beautiful woman, and it's money. And I do have...
Isn't that a comment on how shallow some women are?
No. Why would you say that?
The one thing that'll get you a beautiful woman is money.
Well, a woman wants to know that she's secure. And if you're a man who can provide security... You are a catch. If you're a man who's a catch, you want to find a beautiful woman. And if she's not beautiful, and you guys, and I heard Chris Silla, she's attractive, and you're saying, is she or is she not beautiful?
Your fiance.
Yes.
She's very attractive, but I never use...
See, that's quality.
No, I never use the word beautiful when I'm talking about a woman. Unless you can talk about her personality, too.
But that's not what I'm talking about. Look, my girlfriend, my fiancé, is 5'5", 102 pounds. She's been compared to Carmen Electra.
Well, do you think she's beautiful?
Do I think she's beautiful? You know...
Do you think she's beautiful? That's all.
Look, I'm not... Are you grilling me?
No, I just think it's important. It's not important whether I think she's beautiful.
It is important. Because beauty is something that is shown us in the magazines like Playboy, like D-Cup, like Swank, like the supermodels. Then you turn around and you tell me you don't know whether she's beautiful or not.
Well, you know what's beautiful because you saw beauty in these magazines you're talking about.
Yes.
Do you think she's beautiful?
I don't know if other men see her as beautiful.
The only woman in the world that's beautiful to me is my own wife.
Well, that's... To me, that's a very gutless statement to say that, Phil.
Why would you say that?
Because, of course, you're going to say that. My wife's beautiful to me. Now, I've met Maria. She's very pretty. Very pretty. She's very wholesome. She's got a nice milkmaid look. But my fiancé looks like Carmen Electra. She dated Carmen Electra, who was married to Dennis Rodman. You know, you're familiar with her.
Yes, of course.
Don't you think that's beautiful?
frankly, if you're saying Carmen Electra, no, I don't think she's beautiful. I think she's pretty, what's the word?
You don't think Carmen Electra's beautiful? Holy Jesus. Are you kidding me?
Well, wait a minute, man. To me, Carmen Electra's cookie cutter. In other words, there's nothing outstandingly distinctive about her. She's got the collagen lips and the big boobs. And
what are you saying that like you, what are you, better than her or something? In other words,
no, I don't think I'm better than her.
Well, why would you disparage the woman?
You asked me if I thought she was beautiful. No.
Then you don't think my fiancée's beautiful.
If you're asking me the tight parameters of that...
Just a yes or no.
No, I don't think she's beautiful.
So you show me disrespect by saying that my girlfriend, my fiancée isn't beautiful, even though you know that it is the height of respect to come up to a man and say, my compliments, your lady is very beautiful.
You know, that happened to me once.
What did?
I had a man, a waiter, in a restaurant. This was one of the classiest things that any guy had ever done for me. A waiter walked up to me at a restaurant as we were, Marie and I were sitting there having dinner, and he said, by the way, sir, my compliments, she's a very beautiful woman. And I was very flattered by that, and it was very respectful.
That happened to you?
Yeah.
In a restaurant?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, but why won't you do that for me?
David, I'm giving you my compliments. She's an attractive girl.
Is she beautiful? The answer is no. That's what you think.
No, I hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. It's one thing for me, Chris, and I'm just talking to my staff, if you'll pardon me, folks. It's one thing for me to say I want to get David on the air and say congratulations on being engaged. I don't want to get into a value judgment about his fiance, because it sounds to me like he's getting tense. And the only way a guy knows whether a woman's beautiful or not is to look in fashion magazines and, quote, gentlemen's magazines like Playboy and D Cup, end quote, to know what a beautiful woman looks like. 1-800-449-8686 for sharing tonight with David G. Hall, who is our vice president of syndication, who's just become engaged to be married. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
I would rather put my eyes out with a stick from a tree than look at you.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking about with that, right?
Well, I'll give an example.
Hold on, I want to tell our audience we're back. 1-800-449-8686. You are engaged, David, and congratulations. Your fiancée, Gretchen, is a very lovely, and you feel it necessary that your employees say the words, my compliments, she's a very beautiful woman. Now, I want to ask you a question. When I married Maria, when you first met Maria, you never said to me, my compliments, she's a very beautiful woman.
You are my employee. I'm talking about a situation when a man is your boss or your social superior. For instance, when you were in the restaurant with Maria and the waiter said to you, my compliments, sir, she's a very beautiful woman, you are his social superior because you are obviously on the radio and he's, what is he doing? He's bussing. What did you say he was?
He's a waiter. Well, what is social superior? He doesn't work for me.
No, but you're higher up in the food chain than him. What do you think it's easier to get a beautiful woman, that guy or you?
I have no idea.
Oh, man. Well, you're in trouble. You have no idea.
I don't know who's easier. What do you mean it's easier to get a beautiful woman, him or me?
You're a radio talk show host broadcasting across the country. This guy's bussing dishes in a restaurant. Who do you think's got the better shot at the beautiful woman?
For all I know, him.
You know something, Phil? One of the things that I have a problem with is I think at heart, and I mean this with no disrespect, at heart you're a liar. At heart.
What do you mean I'm a liar?
You know what I'm talking about, and you will not... Say.
All right, hold on. I'm going to take some phone calls here, man, because I don't want to get into it. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Which one? All right, hold on for just a second. Let's go over here to Gail. Hi, Gail. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. How are you doing?
Fine, ma'am. Thank you.
About the man who's called about his wife looking like Carmen Electra?
Yes, ma'am. That's me. I'm David Hall.
To me, it would be an insult as a woman for to be told that I'm beautiful because I look like somebody else. I want to be told, you know, that I'm beautiful because, you know, I want to look like me.
But what if you're not?
And, sir?
What does that mean? What are you?
What if you aren't? What if you're not beautiful?
Well, beauty is not skin deep.
Beauty is not skin deep?
No, sir. Beauty goes to me goes right down to the heart.
Oh, no, I know what you mean. Well, to you, but
and
to
also,
the average man, the reason why we have gentlemen's magazines like D Cup.
Yeah, I understand. D Cup and Playboy.
Well, the reason is because it lets guys know what's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
See? And so Carmen Electra, who's a lot of guys think she's hot. I mean, I don't know where you've been. I mean, she's very hot. My fiancé looks like her, and yet no one has said to me, by compliments, she's a very beautiful woman.
Well, did you notice that the man, when you kept repeatedly asking him, you know, if he thought his girlfriend or his fiancé was beautiful, that he never said yes?
You're speaking of me, Gail? The host of the show?
Well, that's because he's not showing me respect. And to show a man respect, Gail, you must say to him, by the way, my compliment, she's a very beautiful woman.
What if the guy's lying?
What do you mean?
What if he doesn't think she's beautiful, but he just says to you, my compliments, she's a very beautiful woman?
Well, then he's in big trouble, because if I ever find out that my fiance isn't beautiful, and you told me she was, not only am I going to fire, not only are she and I done, but I'm firing you.
I don't understand.
I just feel really very, very sorry for you.
Why?
Because I think that you have the wrong idea of the beauty of a woman. And
no. Look, Gail, when you married your husband, what did he do? Is he a pipe fitter or something?
I beg your pardon?
When you married your husband, he was a pipe fitter? What did he do?
The first one was a political analyst, and the other one was a master plumber.
Yeah, a pipe fitter.
No, sir.
What you do is you say, well, I'm very grateful. I got a guy who's, you know, maybe he's got that plumber's crack going or whatever, but he's cute, and that's good for you. I'm talking about me. And I have a certain level, I guess, of responsibility in the professional world.
Well, what are you saying, man? That Gail, in other words...
Am I talking to you?
I'm sorry?
Am I talking to you?
No, you're talking to me.
Yeah, I'm talking to Gail. I'm not talking to you, Henry. And what I'm trying to say to Gail is, I have to have a beautiful woman because I want a beautiful woman, not because I have to. But I don't know whether the one I got's beautiful. That's all I'm saying.
Because God...
Excuse me, I'm not talking to you. Because a lot of men haven't said, by the way, my compliments you. I go to a lot of very important functions. I can walk in there with
you
a woman.
Don't know. You
I can't
don't
go
know.
In there with someone that looks, you know, like... Rode hard and put up wet, or whatever you want to call it.
You don't know if your fiance is beautiful
David,
or not?
Would you, excuse me, Gail, would you shut up?
David.
I said to shut up.
You show your fiance that much courtesy?
I asked Phil, is she beautiful? He says, well, now I don't know whether she's beautiful or not. That's the part that...
What do you mean?
I told you to shut up. So, Gail.
Who died and left you in charge?
I'm his boss. He talks when I tell him to talk. What I don't understand.
Who died and left you in charge?
I'm the boss. I'm the vice president of syndicate. Are we coming up on a break?
Yes.
Tell that to somebody who cares.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Now hang up with the caller.
Gail, thank you. Thank you very much.
I didn't say to say thank you. Hang up on her.
Phil.
You hang up?
Yes. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Have you left the restaurant, David?
Yeah, we left the restaurant about just after I got done talking with you, and I'm back home. And the reason why we did is I was there with Gretchen. No one has come up to me and said my compliments. She's a very beautiful woman. And I got a little disgusted. I asked her to go to the ladies' room and fix her face or something. And she got angry, so I'm taking a bath.
You know what? I don't blame her for getting angry, man.
Well, she gets angry because she doesn't understand. A woman has to look like, you know, like some, like Carmen Electra, Halle Berry, or Charlize Theron. She's got to look. And if she doesn't, how do you know if she's beautiful? Now, a couple of things you said. First of all, you were talking to that lady. Her name was Gail?
Yeah.
She's old, so, you know.
Look, David, you're talking about her husband, and yeah, he's a pipe fitter.
I'm saying some guys don't get that beautiful women because they're pipe fitters. But with me, but then where does this leave you and I? You've never said that she's beautiful.
I could say that your fiancé is beautiful. Does that make you feel better?
No, because you're a liar. So no, it doesn't make me feel better.
You know, I want to tell you something, David. And
please don't get dramatic.
I want to tell you something. I don't like being called a liar. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I'm going to have to tell Gretchen tonight that I don't think she's beautiful. If you didn't, forget it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Melissa. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with David G. Hall.
If Gretchen has heard this conversation, I think you're going to be a single man.
No.
How old are you, Mr. Hall?
I'm 35.
You sound like you're from an entirely different generation where women were like...
Henry's taking nothing but female calls. I'm talking from a male perspective.
Yes. And you're marrying a woman.
And we need to know... What?
And you're marrying a young woman.
Right. But a man wants to be married to a beautiful woman.
And a woman
how does he know if she's beautiful?
A beautiful man.
And, well, we're not talking about that. You know what you can do? There's a great show called The Dr. Laura Show. You can call that up. And a man wants to be married to a beautiful woman, and if she's not beautiful, then what's...
Well, every guy has a different idea of what beauty...
No, he doesn't. Otherwise, we wouldn't have magazines and supermodels. God!
And also, your theory about how women are...
Why don't you listen to what I'm
saying? It's hard to hear with your splashing.
Oh, why don't you get lost, okay? Why don't you go back to Gomer, whoever you're married to?
Don't talk to her like that.
I'm not talking to you, am I? I'm talking to the caller.
Okay, listen.
Get lost.
My last.
Get lost.
Okay.
Look, I make seven figures a year. I need to have a beautiful woman by my side, not you rolling around out there in your Volkswagen Bug.
My last point is that you're talking about how beauty has changed so much over the years, and I'm wondering how long you're planning on being married to
her. Get rid of her.
Sorry, Melissa. Here is Michelle. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I think, Mr. Hall, you are very insecure, and I think you're an idiot.
I'm not insecure. I just know what I like. Is that insecure, a man that knows what he likes?
You don't know what you like.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't, because you don't know what's beautiful.
Am I talking to you, or am I talking to the caller?
It seems so important to you to get the approval of your staff. What's that? That seems very, very insecure.
No, because you need respect from your staff. If you don't get respect, then they don't respect you. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a position where a waiter has approached your man and said, my compliments, she's a very beautiful woman. Maybe you haven't. And maybe you don't know what you're talking about. But
it's ridiculous. I wouldn't want to be spoken of that way, like a possession.
No, it's, well...
What's the difference?
Nice jaguar, nice chick,
whatever.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Get rid of her, too. She's an idiot.
David, you're the idiot.
I said to get rid of her. She's an idiot.
I'm sorry, Michelle. 1-800-449-8686.
The Bill Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Marie, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, this is addressed to the boss.
Yes, ma'am. David,
you know, you got a problem. You're a very evil man.
Oh, get out of here. How am I evil?
Very disrespectful.
How am I evil?
If I was that radio host, let me tell you something. You may be the boss, but think, who's the show? And without him, you're nothing.
Let me tell you something.
And if I was him, I would have left the line on.
My fiancé looks like Carmen Electra.
And
now, down in our IT department, we got a guy.
We're not talking about your wanting to be hear your beautiful girlfriend. Your girlfriend ain't got nothing to do with this conversation.
Yes, she does. That's what it's all about. And
nobody told me she's beautiful. You said out of your mouth, not your girlfriend. When your girlfriend disrespects the radio host, then I'll talk with her, too. But right now, I'm addressing it to you.
What are you, a Native American?
I'm addressing it to you.
Are you a Native American?
I'm a human being. And another human being does not talk to another human being, especially.
Yeah, but you got that very strident tone, like, you know,
on the air. And you know, if I was a radio host, I would have left it on the air, and I would have said, I am not going to return to your show, your employment, your whatever.
All right, Marie, this is Phil. Hold on. Hold on, Marie. David, what did you want me to ask, okay?
Ask her if she's an Indian.
I'm not here to have him ask me anything. I'm here to put him and set him straight. Because he owes you an apology, and you do not talk
to
another human being like that. You talk to an animal like that.
Look at David, all I'm saying,
I'm telling you to shut up. I'm talking to the Indian. What?
Why are you trying to insult her?
I'm telling you that you need
she's
to hold
an Indian. I can
that man an apology. And if I was that radio host, I'd leave the radio on
air.
I'm not coming back until I get an apology. And if he don't come back, then get your beautiful wife in there and take it away.
He needs the job.
How beautiful she's been.
You think my wife's beautiful? Do you think my wife's beautiful?
She's as beautiful as your mouth.
Okay, then you're listening. She's gorgeous. Thank you. Then you're supposed to say my compliments.
No, I'm not supposed to say nothing. You're the one that's supposed to say, because you know what? You said you're the boss.
Why don't you go stoke the sweat lodge?
Why don't you apologize
to
the man?
Look, Pocahontas, I don't...
Because you ain't nothing without him.
David...
Can I jump in here,
David?
No, if you shut your mouth, I'm talking to Pocahontas. I'm talking to
her. What are you getting out of that?
What?
What are you getting out of telling him to shut up?
Because I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to him.
And I'm talking to you.
Now, let me ask you a question. Where's Taro?
I'm talking to you.
All right. We need to stop with the Indian bashing, all right? Now,
I haven't even started with the Indian bashing.
She doesn't even want to start with the Indian bashing because she is an Indian.
I'm a lady.
You're a squaw.
All right.
Down deep in
thank you very much for your call.
No, I tell you to get rid of the caller. You don't.
Thank you very much.
Don't you dare hang up on it.
I did.
Give me the Irish Spring. What'd she do, go back to her teepee?
David, I'm going to tell you.
Let me tell you a story. Give me the Irish Spring. Let me tell you a story.
Who are you talking to?
Talking to Gretchen.
Well, can't you talk to her?
Look, she's obviously not beautiful, so I need for her to do something. Give me the Irish Spring and go get that duck that I like. Now, let me tell you something. Years ago, we had a guy working in the IT department down here. He had a wandering eye and a limp. Now, you know what I'm talking about when I say a wandering eye.
Yes, he had a muscle imbalance.
He had a muscle imbalance. He had an eyeball that went off in all directions, and he limped. And he never said to me, my compliments, she's a very beautiful woman. Now, to a guy like that, my fiancé Gretchen looks like Cleopatra. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't let me have that little bit of sustenance, that little drop of water in the desert, to simply say, my compliments, she's a very beautiful woman. So you know what I did? I fired his wonky eye ass.
All right, David, I guess we're all done.
Of course we're done. I've made my point.
Will you shut up with the bathtub?
What's the matter?
Are we done?
Yeah.
Well, can you turn your bathtub down or something?
Wait a minute. Did you hear that?
Do it again.
That's the duck that...
Bug off. I fired his wonky eye. That's David G. Hall. He doesn't know his fiancée's beautiful unless other guys tell him. 1-800-449-8686. Just an example of what we do on this ridiculous show. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Living on the edge. Always teetering. Never quite falling off. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You making fun of me because I'm in a bathtub? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm just saying, why in a bathtub while I'm talking to you?
I came home because my wife, Gretchen, nobody said to me...
How does that make her feel?
I'm talking about me. No one said my compliments because your wife's beautiful. I'm home and I'm relaxing in a hot tub.
Let me go over to Rosemarie. Rosemarie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall.
Yes. Sir, I'd like to say something to you.
Go ahead.
You can command respect by the way you treat people. The minute you have to demand it means you don't think you deserve it. And to be professional, you have to be fair and courteous. You've been neither.
What?
I have five daughters. If any one of them had a man say about her what you said, I not only would not have let her marry him, I'd have hit him in his dirty mouth.
Well,
you
I
sound
want you
like a schizophrenic idiot.
You can't hit me. You hit me. You're in big trouble. I'll sue you.
Yeah, I know, because you have money. You
That's
have
right.
no idea. A human being
See,
is not beautiful because of how they look.
Your daughters...
You have to think she is beautiful, her personality.
Oh, come on.
But to say
on.
Some other man
when
has
was...
to tell you that she's beautiful,
Give
you don't know for yourself, who would want a man like you?
I
got to go ask the neighbor if you cook breakfast well. I got to go ask the neighbor if your dress is right. I got to go ask some other man if you look pretty.
That's right. What's wrong with that? Don't turn
it
the
sounds
water
like
on.
You sound like a 10-year-old on crack.
Don't turn
you don't
on.
Sound like a grown man
who
at all.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Gretchen.
Talking
turn
to
it
you.
Off. Huh? You're talking. Who are you? La, 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 la.
Is Rosemary still there?
Yes, she's here.
All right, ma'am. David, are you there?
La, la.
David, are you there?
La, la, la.
What?
I got a caller on the line, man.
You got another Indian on the line. I'm going to really be upset.
She's not an Indian. She's a caller.
Well, what do you want, ma'am?
She said...
I'm talking to her, not you. Now, Rosemary, let me explain something. You say you got three daughters, huh? I bet you if I fanned a whole bunch of 20s under their noses, I could make them sing Dixie. I could make them sing the Crimson Tide.
You're hearing a bad French accent because I'm angry at you.
Put on the heat lamp, will
you? No, you don't even sound like a grown man.
Rosemary.
You don't even sound like you have any self-respect. You certainly have no respect for females.
Will you
give me some other ideas about you. You're going to let the whole world see you naked in a bathtub. This is a professional rich man?
Ma'am, I'm taking a bath. Is there something wrong with that? Is that a war crime?
David,
why are you announcing to the world that you're naked in a bathtub and you want some other man to tell you if your wife is, your girl is pretty?
What's wrong with me sitting in a...
at all.
What's wrong
you're
with
showing no respect for your employee. You're showing no respect for the women who call. And you call yourself a grown, professional man?
How's Maury Amsterdam?
Isn't that funny?
I got off a cutie. Big deal.
Isn't that funny? How's Maury Amsterdam?
Rosemary, what do you expect me to do? Sit in the bathtub fully clothed?
No, I don't expect you to say, I'm the boss. Some other man has to tell me if my girl is pretty, and I have to be rude and insulting to my employees.
Why do we have models? We have models to tell us what's beautiful. Why do we have fat men? So that there's
models
someone for your daughters
say,
to marry.
This is the female body that we're talking about this week.
Pass me
it doesn't
razor.
Mean the woman you marry has to look like somebody you saw.
Can
you
I ask
like
you
a
question,
person
seriously?
Because of who they are, not how they look.
Rosemary, can I ask you a question?
It's beautiful to you because of who they are,
of
not
course.
How they look.
Of course. Let me ask you a question. And it's kind of a tough one, but do you mind it if a man...
All right, that's it.
What
That's
are you
it.
Talking about?
That's
you sound like a 10-year-old on crack.
I hear that they say that women dig it if a guy... Give me the razor, honey.
I'm getting rid of him.
A 10-year-old on crack? Hey, why don't you call up Pocahontas and go scalp some bad guys?
Your tub, man. God, I'd like to drown you in it.
He's a sick man.
He can't hurt me.
All right, Rosemary, thank you very much.
La, 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 la.
I want to kill him.
La.
I hit something about a guy in a tub. Something about a guy in a tub that guns my engine. All right, now it's time for a flashback. Don Parsley, his wife had breast cancer, so that's enough for him to go and find another woman with breasts.
Pass me the duck.
Bill Hendry Show. Comedy gold.
Sir, you sound like the most self-serving, selfless, spineless person on earth. You said your wife went out and got cancer. Do you think she went out and bought it at a store? You couldn't even wait till she got her diagnosis, which tells me you already had this other woman lined up. This is not a new thing.
You hold on just right there.
I
didn't have no woman hold it. No, now hold on just
No, I won't hold on.
You hold on to your bloomers there.
You've been talking and you've been talking and you want sympathy. But you're not going to get sympathy from any normal person.
What am I supposed to do with my wife's
You're supposed to be a man. You're supposed to act like a man and be by her side.
I am by her side. I ain't getting rid of her.
You're supposed to wait till she gets her diagnosis. Then you're supposed to jump for joy. I'll bet you already had this other woman lined up. You've probably been having an affair for some time.
Now, listen, you found her awfully quickly.
Watch your language talking to this lady.
Listen, I had some this chick lined up on the side, okay?
Well, it's
about to have my wife, and she's not going to have no breasts, so I went out and found a woman with breasts.
What's up, man? Are breasts that important to you? Can't you? What if
let me think about it for a minute. Yeah. Are you kidding me or what?
Well, then there's
something wrong with
you.
It's a woman that you love, for crying out loud. I mean, what is love to you, man? This is your partner. This is your...
You almost said the word fart. I heard...
Okay, so I almost said the word fart.
No, that would apply to you, not your wife. But let me tell you...
Hey,
can
I ask a question? When exactly did the bus for the Munchkins pull up? Because I think you missed it. Now, Mr. Henry, what I was trying to...
Have some respect, okay?
She's trying to tell me that I was having an affair. I said it sounds like it. Well,
it
guess
sounds
what?
Like it.
Well, maybe you ought to get a new hearing aid, because you're wrong. That's not what happened. What I did, I used to walk into the kitchen while my wife was cooking, and I'd shout, bring out your dead, bring out your dead.
And isn't that a manly thing to do?
You got a woman waiting for a cancer biopsy, and so you walk into the kitchen and go, bring out your dead?
And you couldn't even wait for the biopsy to come back? It sounds to me almost like you wanted to be a positive diagnosis. I hope your wife is listening to this.
You know, Betty,
and when you get home, your clothes are out in the street.
Betty, you remind me so much of my mother-in-law, it's scary. And that's why at this time I must ask you, is this Francine Ogerlin? Yes or no?
No, it is not.
That you are a liar? You're my mother-in-law, aren't you?
No, I am not a liar, but I'll tell you
something. You're calling from Rancho Mirage, California, aren't you?
What?
Are you calling from Rancho Mirage, Francine?
No,
I know this is you.
No.
I know this is you, and you've been doing this to me for 15 years.
You're going to drop a net over you.
Sounds like her.
Wait a minute.
No, it's her.
No, it is not.
Well, Francine, I want you to hear this loud and clear. I love your daughter very much. And I'm going to stay with her for the rest of the
time. Boy, you know something.
I hate it when you laugh at me. I hate it.
Sooner or later, somebody's going to put a net on you. It's like you left a metropolitan
hospital. You know what? I know it's you because you got that spastic glottal thing going on in the back of your throat.
Are you sure this is your mother-in-law?
I know it as sure as God made green apples. Listen to the way she laughs every time.
I am not your mother-in-law, thank God. If I were, I would probably kill you.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Thank you. We're on our way to it right now.
I have Coach Vernon Dozier with us, as you know, in the news today. Some of this made the news, Coach, and I want to be very clear. We're not prejudging you.
I appreciate that.
And Mr. Dozier is a head football coach at Belmar Academy. It's a high school, as well as a teacher there, mathematics. What else, sir?
I teach social studies, and we also teach a science and health class.
All right. The controversy has to do with a parent at the school, her daughter, and your relationship with her, which I understand you have said to the board is not physical, there's nothing sexual.
Well, I think the implication that when you say you are having a relationship with a young lady, immediately the people, because of the minds that people have these days, they immediately go to the sex. They immediately go to the... what they think is molestation, because that's the kind of filth, I guess, that people want to wallow in.
But there is a real concern because this kind of thing has happened.
Well, I will tell you this, just speaking for myself, Phil. I'm 20 years a head football coach at Belmar Academy. We're going to be playing a divisional championship game this coming Saturday night. It's something that we're very proud of.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And, we have a new multi-purpose gym, stadium, and fitness facility that was completed this past spring at a cost of some $2.5 million. And when it was completed, I'm very proud to say that they put my name on it. It is the Dozier Athletic Center.
That is something to be proud of.
And when I walk on the field on Saturday night, after the final game of the season, a game I think we will be victorious in, by the way, and I've got a great deal of respect for Coach Fole and his program, but when I walk on the field Saturday night, I will have completed my 231st game as a head coach of the CIF program. I've won 4 divisional titles.
Yes, sir.
I've won 10 league titles, as well as sending some 200 boys into Division I college programs, some 31 boys into professional programs. And that is much, much bigger than Carol Westcott and her job as a parent and a parent-teacher advisor at Belmar Academy, or the parents who try to tell me what to do.
All of that is admirable, but your relationship with this minor child is in question. And
well, she is a minor, yes, but that has nothing to do with the conversation, and I resent the implications that people are making.
Well, the fear is that there might have been an improper relationship. You're saying that there isn't.
As I explained to the board at the emergency meeting, at no time have I ever been sexually involved with any minor child. Carol Westcott's daughter, her name is Amanda, by the way, and I don't have any problem using her name because there's nothing improper going on. She and I have had an email relationship. It's been completely above board.
Why, if I could ask you this question, why did you begin this relationship with a 15-year-old girl?
My wife, Marion, as you know, Phil, I mentioned, took sick 2 years ago. She's housebound. She's not fit to receive anyone. And as a result, she's been very ill, and I have not had, I suppose you could say, pleasure of her company. She is.
Can I ask you what's wrong with her?
She suffers from a mental disturbance.
I'm very sorry to hear that, sir.
Well, I can tell you it's been certainly across the bear. When you look at a woman that you were married to and suddenly you're no longer her husband, you're more like her keeper. We have to keep her in a locked room. Upstairs in the house, I can't have people over because of the noises that come out of that room at night. So I got involved in...
Oh my God, that sounds horrible.
Well, it is.
But you got involved with this girl, Amanda, a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, I was in one of these because I wanted to monitor what's going on. And you're absolutely right about the child molestation and everything. And I was monitoring one of the teen chat rooms and... on behalf of the school and some of the parents, and I did meet her in that time and got to know her.
Are you refusing, sir, to stop your relationship with this girl? Because the mother is concerned.
Well, I know she's concerned. I mean, she brought my name up to the newspaper, and let me answer your question this way. I'll have completed 231 games as a head coach. They have named the athletic center after me. I think that what I've meant to Belmar Academy is a lot more than what some soccer mom has meant to it. And let me just tell you and your listeners something, Mr. Henry, so you can kind of put this into perspective. These soccer moms, they come busting into your life trying to tell me what to do, trying to tell me my job. Now, she's a, just because you drive a Windstar van doesn't mean you know how to coach a football program. And you sure aren't going to come into my life and tell me what to do when I got a wife who's locked in a room upstairs.
I understand that, sir. You know, a lot of this stuff you may not want to share.
Well, you know, Phil, I've talked to friends who... it helps me.
All right. I'm going to give our number out here, 1-800-449-8686. You do have an illustrious career at Belmar Academy. And you're saying that as long as your relationship with this girl isn't sexual, what's wrong with it?
Absolutely, absolutely. She is a... Amanda's quite mature for her years.
But if the parent says, Mr. Dozier, with the greatest of respect to you...
Yeah.
And all that you've meant to the school, this is my daughter, and I would choose at this time, sir, that you cease your communication with her. She's young... She needs a relationship with people more her own age.
Well, that's a lie right there.
Why is that a lie?
Because she's got a relationship with her own mother. This woman, this Carol Westcott, is her mother.
Well, I know that what I'm saying, friendships, the kinds of friendships that a person develops in life, might be better for her. And I'm speaking of just as a theoretical parent.
Yeah, but see, this Carol Westcott, the mother of this girl, she's one of these soccer moms who thinks she's the only woman that ever had a kid. As soon as that baby was born, she wanted to go up and down Main Street, USA, and say, hey, I had a baby. Well, ding, ding for you, you know. And she goes over here to the auto mall, the one right off of Greaves Road, gets herself a Mercury van, puts a kid seat in the back, puts on a jumper, little puke bib on her shoulder. Okay?
Yeah.
And then she goes down with all the other mothers at the park with the baby in the stroller and sits there and thinks she's a big shot. And
it's her kid whether she thinks she's a big shot or not, right?
It is her kid. And I would tell you, most of the time I would agree with you. Most of the time I think a parent has the right to monitor their relationships with their children. But in this case, there's nothing going on. And again, what I've meant to Belmar Academy and the 10 divisional titles that we've won along with 4 league championships and the Dozier Athletic Center will be commemorated on this coming Friday, Saturday, or whatever day. I forgot they've mailed it out. I forget the date. Mister, you call me a child molester. Boy, I hope you brought your lunch.
Well, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that a parent, the question at hand is that the parent has the right to choose the friends of her daughter.
I would agree.
You're saying you would agree, except in your case.
In my case, it's a little different because what I've meant to that school, and also the personal situation I've got with my wife, who, like I said, she's not even a wife anymore. She's more like a, what do you call something that you got to lock up? No.
I understand. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Well, he says there's nothing going on. Did you talk to this guy before we went on the air, Chris? He says there's nothing going on between him and this girl. She's 15, and he's a teacher at the school, but they're just having an email relationship. The parent has asked that he stop and communicating with her, and he won't. And the reason that he gives is that he has meant a lot to that school. They're commemorating the athletic center after him, and he's won quite a bit of football games, and he's bigger than any soccer mom. Well, he's a venerable guy. His name is Coach Vernon Dozier, and it's an interesting story. He has a friendship that he's commenced with a 15-year-old girl at his school where he teaches. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some bean dip.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right. Coach Vernon Dozier, I call you Coach because I am a football fan.
Well, and I think that's got a lot to do with what we're talking about, too, Phil.
Why?
I'm a member of a million-plus football fraternity, football professionals, and what the game of football has meant to America over the years has been so significant that I don't think you can discount what myself and others have contributed to it. And if I choose to have a relationship with a young woman who is completely above board, now you have these soccer moms that don't...
Well, you keep calling her mother a soccer mom.
Well, she's one of these women who drives around in the van. Let me tell you, right now, in my home, locked in a room upstairs, is what used to be my wife. I'm taking care of her. Don't you think that would score me some points with all these mothers and all of this kind of thing? But no, it don't. What it does, instead, is they don't care. She just wants to talk about her daughter.
Well, she's concerned as you would be. Are you a father?
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay, so you have to understand how...
But I've been a teacher, Mr. Ed, for 25 years, so I don't need anybody telling me about, kids. I've been around kids. I'm around kids every day. I'm around them so often. I pray to God and Jesus Christ himself that I'd never gotten into teaching. It just, it just never ends. But I'm trying to...
Well, at least one of those students, you say, is giving you a great deal of friendship. Let me take a phone call here, Coach. 1-800-449-8686. And I want to say from a personal standpoint, because we have had you on our program before and I know you, I'm sorry for this problem, but I think, just speaking as a friend, a little bit of it is brought on by you.
Well, you do not understand the circumstances, then, sir.
Okay, fine. 1-800-449-8686. Steve, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, wait until I get on the beach. I'm sorry, but being a coach and playing all this football and having a college or a gymnasium named after you still doesn't excuse the fact that you're dealing with a minor whose parents doesn't want you to contact her. I mean, taking your logic to the extreme end, that means that President Clinton should have had all the virgins he wanted because he was in a higher position.
First of all, you're implying that I'm having a sexual relationship.
No,
with young
any
lady.
Relationship. I'm not implying.
Well, you mentioned virgins. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Well,
and Clinton had sex with a young lady who was of age, not a minor.
Right.
So,
your
analogy, and I'm speaking as an educator, is not very good. But I will tell you, you're right. If it was anybody else,
it doesn't matter
but
who it is.
What I have meant to Belmar Academy.
And you don't win points. What Bush meant to this country, Clinton meant to this country, and the many great things they did.
Why do you keep bringing up Clinton? That guy, look at Clinton, between you and me and your mans.
What about Bush?
Clinton shagged some hog.
But by what
okay,
you say...
Okay, look.
No, but I had sex with some hog on the floor of a... I'm not having sex with this girl at all.
She's a minor. She's a minor. You don't have a choice.
Well, why do you keep bringing up Clinton and this butter hog that he was with?
Doesn't matter. Let's use President Bush. Does President Bush have a right to go around and talk to the young girls under the age of 18 without the parents' permission?
Of course he
does.
Does
he have the right to do more with the young girls, even with the parents' permission?
So you keep wanting to go down that route of doing more. Where are you coming from?
You haven't denied it.
I have denied totally that I've ever had any intimate relation with that girl. You keep wanting to go down that road of filth.
Well,
you
got to
stay off the road of filth.
Let's go past
the road of filth.
Relationship
leads you just down. The road of filth is going to lead you down into a dirty place.
No, sir. I happen to be a criminal attorney, and I do know what would get you in a lot of trouble. And you're already in trouble.
See, this gentleman here is an attorney. Now, why is he in trouble?
He's not. I've got a good lawyer. I don't need this mouthpiece telling me.
You're guilty. Until presumed innocent. You've got to prove you're innocent. And, of course, I don't care what anybody else says.
You're guilty until you're proven innocent.
Right.
That's what a lawyer says. That's what you're saying.
Especially in crimes of this nature.
What do you mean you're guilty?
If that little girl comes out and says he touched her, that's a problem. Let's say she doesn't.
You're not saying literally guilty. You're saying in the court of public opinion?
No, I'm saying literally. I've tried a lot of criminal cases.
Well, then you're not a very good lawyer because the law says you're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
That's what the law says.
I'm a lawyer. I've got a good lawyer. I feel sorry for the guy that hires you, man, because he's probably going to go to... Show me in the law book where it's illegal to email a girl. Go ahead.
She's under 50. She's underage.
It ain't illegal.
It's underage.
Hey, do you visit your clients in jail often, or do you just email them?
Okay.
I only visit them in jail. Right. I can't email them.
Steve, thank you, Steve, for your call. I think he was speaking in a figurative sense. Let's go over to Kevin on the Phil Henry Show. Kevin, go ahead.
Hi, good evening. How
yes,
are
sir.
You?
Fine.
Listen, here's what I have to say. In sympathy for your situation, and it's wonderful that you've done all the things you've done at the school.
Thank you.
But if I was the parent of that girl, you and I would have to have a conversation, especially if you decided you were going to continue to have an email relationship, as you say, with her against the wishes of me being her parent.
But are you a football fan, sir?
I'm absolutely a football fan,
then
sir.
Then you understand. You're part of that fraternity of people who understand what football has meant to this country.
Sure.
Well, wait a minute. I don't understand what that has to do with the conversation.
This is what I don't understand.
Yes,
I don't understand as much as your wife is in a very bad condition, and that's really sad. But aren't there some women your age you could have an email relationship with? And she says it's not intimate, but intimacy begins with conversation.
I was online one night, instant messaging some of the kids. And
see, that's another thing. You're in a chat room for teens.
Yeah.
What are you referring?
What are you doing?
I'm
saying, sir, that is a totally inappropriate relationship, regardless of how innocent you say it is. for a mature man with a teenager. It's totally inappropriate.
Your name's Kevin, right?
Yes.
Kevin, on Saturday night, I will walk off the field of a brand new athletic center.
Okay.
Okay, we know all about that, Coach.
But 231 games they had coached the CIA program, 4 divisional titles, 10 league titles.
Okay.
200 boys in the Division I program, 31 boys in the professional ranks.
Okay.
And somebody wants to call me a pervert because I'm, you know.
Here's what I'm saying.
I got something living upstairs.
I don't know.
My wife, I don't know what it is, but it's upstairs.
But all I'm saying is that being said,
right.
and anybody with any feeling sympathize with that condition from a human level. But you cannot.
Come on, you're a man. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you can't justify that. She's 15.
Yeah, you're going to get in some serious trouble, brother. And
look, serious trouble for what? Because I'm hanging out with some. She's, you know, you give her a Barbie doll and she's happy.
You mentioned something about legal. There's nothing legally you can do. You can't go anywhere with that child against her mother's wishes.
Look, my wife is housebound. She's not fit to receive people. And
we know about your wife. And I'm.
What are you saying? You don't care?
No, I'm not saying that I don't.
But there are women your age that you could have a relationship with.
Good point. Hey,
instead of this child.
Kevin, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686 as we speak with Coach Vernon Dozier of Belmar Academy. And as I say, Coach, you know, you and I have known each other for a long time. You've been on the program. You've talked football matters. This has got to be a very uncomfortable thing for you to be going through.
Phil, it really is not an uncomfortable thing. The first thing that became uncomfortable for me was when some, you know, one of these, you know, four-eyed... guys from the L.A. Times calls me up. He says, hey, this and that about, you know, you. I said, look, why don't you get lost, you know, and then I got the call from the school board, and they said, well, what's going on with you and this Amanda Westcott? I said, there's nothing going on. I'm emailing the girl, and the school board is fully aware of my situation at home. Upstairs in my home right now is something. It ain't my wife. You show me my wife's double.
I want
you to give me the respect of just explaining to you. Now, you show me my wife's double. Same hair, the same skin, the same eyes, and I'll know which one is my wife. And I'm telling you right now, that thing upstairs isn't my wife. And what I...
If you have a wife that is that ill, she needs an institution.
What institution's going to take her?
Well, and you need to institutionalize your wife, number one, and number two, address these concerns of the school.
I have meant to Belmar. Look, unless you're a football fan, you don't get it. You just don't get it. I've won divisional titles. I ought to be allowed to email a 15-year-old girl if I want to.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Wow. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coach Vernon Dozier, he's also a social studies teacher at Belmar Academy. We're speaking of a parent at the school that has a problem with the relationship you have with her 15-year-old daughter. You say it's not sexual, it's just an email relationship. And
well, I'm not just saying it. That is the truth. And the implication is anything more than that. After all, I've been to the football program and the fact that my wife is housebound. And
all right, okay, but let me... read to you. Are you aware of that the mother has a copy of what was on you were writing in the chat room with these girls?
I'm aware of what I wrote in the chat room. I've got enough. There's nothing that I'm ashamed of. There's nothing I'm ashamed of.
Well, I have a copy of it. Do you mind if I read it?
I don't care at all.
Well, the gist of it is that it was a chat room with teenage girls, right?
And I was in that chat room monitoring the activity on behalf of the parent student board, the Belmar Academy, and I was in no way, shape, or form trolling. Or anything like that, because I know where you're going with this, okay? And I want to tell you something right now. What I meant to this program...
All right, no. I simply want to just read this. The girls were talking about training bras.
That's correct, yeah.
And one of them said that her brother pulled the strap on her training bra and it snapped and it hurt. And you respond...
I told her that that it doesn't hurt. I used to do it to my sister.
Well, hold on. You write, I know what you're talking about. I used to do that to my sister when I was a kid, and it doesn't hurt at all. I can show you in the locker room.
That's correct, yeah.
You're offering to snap the girl's bra in the locker room?
The locker room that happens to be in the Dozier Athletic Center. Okay, that's number one. And number two... Are you trying to say now that I'm trying to get my cheap thrills? I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Well, what do you mean? You're actually going to show the girl how to say...
I was just having conversation with the girls is all I was doing. I'm not going to have... First of all, girls are not allowed in the boys' locker room, nor are male teachers. See, you got me so flustered. Man, I want to hurt somebody now, you know. And the other thing, my attorney told me not to go on these talk shows because what you people do is you twist it.
Sir, I'm reading your own words back to you. Okay.
Well, male members of the faculty are not allowed in the locker rooms.
All right, of the girls.
That is correct.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Marcia, go ahead, Marcia.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just like to say to the coach, clearly you have meant a lot to this athletic program. Clearly you have a wonderful, accomplished career as a professional.
Thank you.
And you've done a lot of wonderful things. I don't think, though, that that's what anyone is talking about. What I want to say is that I suggest that you really reconsider this relationship, email relationship. I'm not suggesting that you've said anything or done anything wrong.
Thank you very much.
I'm suggesting that you reconsider it, and the reason is that you've explained that you have, you know, a horrible situation at home with your wife. I'm sure we're all sympathetic to it,
but it
really sounds as though there's a lot more, you have a lot more of your emotional investment in a relationship with this 15-year-old.
Well,
maybe.
And
I'm going to suggest to you that that's what's inappropriate. She is only 15, and she may seem very mature, but she is only 15, and there's no way that she can relate to the type of a situation that a grown man would have with a very sickly wife and the needs that you may have,
Marcia,
even just for a friend. Let me
Amanda,
just finish my
Amanda
comment.
Knows whole worlds that I've barely touched. And
would it be 15, and you're how old?
I'm 49.
She knows whole... Go ahead.
I think that's inappropriate. I really think that perhaps
she's wise beyond her years.
That doesn't matter though. She's not. She has never experienced. She may be very, very bright. I don't doubt that.
There's an innocence
sir, I am not even suggesting that anything, you know, terrible has happened. But I'm saying that what I hear you saying, you have a lot of pain around what's happening with your wife. But I think that needs to be handled in another forum. Can I just finish what I'm saying?
I can't call her my wife.
I just think that it needs to be handled in another environment with adults, not with a 15-year-old who has no idea what this might be about.
Thank you.
That's what I think puts you at risk.
Right, but I just want to say, she knows whole worlds that I haven't even touched, and there's an innocence about her that you just don't get from these, some old bag.
All right, Marcia, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-86. What do you mean from some old bag?
The women today, they just... Man, if there isn't one thing that's packing them up the rear end, it's something else. You know, they're just always crying and complaining about something. And here's a young lady who's a break from the insanity of having to listen to the chains pounding on the door upstairs and the clanging of metal. And I can tell you...
Boy, I tell you, you really need to have your wife in a hospital.
I understand that, Mr. Henry, but hey, excuse me. Maybe you're a millionaire, but I'm not.
All right, we'll be back here in a minute. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Here is Kathy on the Phil Henry Show. Kathy, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Hi. I'm just outraged. I'm sitting here at the high school right now waiting for my 16-year-old daughter. I understand. And
does she get on any of these chat rooms, ma'am?
Yes, she does.
All right.
But they're not with
They're with friends,
yeah.
People that she knows, not with older men or women.
Well, I was monitoring on behalf of the parent-teacher board at our school. And that's all it was. It's just they're talking about snapping bra straps. And I said, hey, you know, when I was a kid, I used to do that, look up a dress or some kind of silly thing like that. It's no big deal.
Excuse me. You shouldn't. I'm so outraged. Out of respect for you, you've had a lot of accomplishments.
Thank
you. I feel sorry for you with your wife's situation.
I appreciate
but really,
that.
Frankly, it has nothing to do with your relationship with this girl. If it were me, my daughter's turning 17 in a few months. I still would not want you to contact her because it's inappropriate. When she's 18, she can do whatever she wants. I will have no control over that.
You said your daughter's 16, ma'am?
She's 16, going on 17.
Oh, yeah. So she gets on these chat rooms and everything, huh?
Yes.
Kathy,
but if
have
I
you
knew...
ever had to push food under a door for someone you love?
Okay, now you keep talking about your
I
wife.
I just want to know, have you ever had to push food under a door for someone you
love? Yeah, your wife has nothing to do with this now, Mr. Dozier.
Right.
With fairness, we're trying to talk...
okay, so neither one of you...
You talk about
I just
want
to know, have you ever had to slide a metal tray under a door?
No, and you shouldn't have to. She needs help.
She needs to go to a hospital.
You need to help her.
I can't get into the... Who's going to go in there and throw
you
a net on her?
You call somebody to come and help her.
Well,
you're not doing anything to help her, and you're reaching out to a 15-year-old girl who has a sympathetic ear to you.
She's
there are other people that can do that, too.
You know how these girls are. Now, I will say something. I think you're a wonderful mother, but how do you know that what's going on with you right now is a little bit of jealousy?
What?
Are you jealous of maybe your daughter getting on a chat room and meeting and hooking up?
I can do that, too,
what?
But with adults. It's friendship, but it's a friendship on the same age level. You need help. You're having problems.
Well.
No, I'm not saying, you know, I know you're having personal problems with your wife, a situation at home. You have all these things, that accomplishments and things, which is great, but you need to share them with people your own age.
Shut up.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. I was.
Who were you telling to shut up?
I was actually telling my wife to shut up.
You shouldn't even have to talk to her. Like, you have no...
banging on the door.
You know, you ask for respect for yourself. You need respect for other people.
Hold on.
Including your wife.
Mr.
You're not
Dozier,
helping her.
If you have to deal with something...
Hold on for a minute.
I told you to shut your mouth.
Oh, my God. He needs help.
I want to just say to you, Kathy, if your daughter is 16 and she's in these chat rooms, be careful because there are some pervs out there that want to...
You
know,
like
touch her.
You that don't... You're not respecting her parents, her mother.
Mr. Henry, if you could hold on for just a minute.
Maybe you need
Mr.
to
Henry,
take care of...
Shut your mouth up.
Mr. Henry, if I were you,
well,
would you please get this... Please get someone to his address and help her, because he's not going to.
I got
to
get a bib for her now. I don't know what's going on up there, but
someone
I think
needs to help
if you're
her
jealous of your daughter, I bet she's young and firm, and one of those freaking
Excuse
nature
me?
Girls. Well, if,
what, just
what,
listen to the way you're
yeah,
talking.
Yeah, listen to how you're talking.
No, I'm just... You have to...
You scare me, frankly.
Sir, or ma'am, I mean,
you have no business in these chat rooms. It's scary the way you're talking the way you're being derogatory to other people, to women. It's scary. You need help, and your wife certainly needs help. I hope someone calls someone to help her.
I've been taking care of my wife the best way I know how. The best thing for my wife
she
right
needs
now
someone other than you
is
to
iron
help
bars
her
on that window.
See, just listen to you talk.
See, do you hear what you're saying? That's not compassion.
You don't need compassion
I hope the
with
right
what's living
people
upstairs
are listening to this show.
And if you've got a daughter, and I say this with all due respect, Kathy's one of them, I guess you call it kind of freaking nature girls. You know, she's
Excuse
big up top.
Me?
And, well, she's big up top.
Wait, what?
All right, you deal with your wife. And
well, I'm not done telling. I just wanted to ask the lady if...
I don't bring my juice.
Get out of here with this, will you?
No, I got to...
Eat your oatmeal and shut up.
That thing upstairs, I'm telling you. I'll tell you right now, I don't need a hospital for it. I don't need an ambulance for it. And I don't need some nurse for it. I need a gun. I got to go up and kill it. I spent 7 years, Mr. Henry, 7 years trying to get through to her, and now I'm going to spend the next 7 years trying to keep her locked up.
I'm coming to get you now. Burn in my juice.
Your juice.
Buddy, you got problems.
Burn in. Change the channel.
No more American Idol. All right, Mr. Henry, I...
Get out of here, you and your freaked out wife. What's he got, Linda Blair living up there? Good God. Have you got a freaking nature daughter who's big up top? And this is a guy that's in a chat room. Ladies and gentlemen, the Phil Henry Show advises all of you parents out there, monitor what's going on in the chat rooms today. I did. I'll tell you the story about it. I walked in on my daughter. She actually asked me to get involved in an instant messaging contretemps that she was involved in with two other girls. So she let me read it, and then I got online as the adult. All right, 1-800-449-8686.
Vernon, where's my dolly?
The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk Radio's Speed Trap. The Phil Hendry Show is back. Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I want to have something to say to Mr. Bozeman.
My name is Bozell.
I live in the deep south.
My name is Bozeell.
I graduated from high school, and I want
are
you to
hearing
know
what I'm
that
saying, ma'am?
American is not as stupid as you are.
Are you hearing me, ma'am?
I know.
I didn't go to college.
Without having, and they still make dictionaries. If you don't understand anything, you can look it up. They have public libraries you can go to.
Can you hear me, ma'am?
The average American is not as stupid as you're making it.
Hello? Are you there, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. I'd like to respond to the caller, if I may, Mr. Henry.
Go right ahead.
First of all, Juanita, I knew what Beltway meant. It meant sanitary napkin. Okay? Then they go and change it up.
How stupid can you be?
I beg your pardon?
How stupid can you be?
Are you saying they still make dictionary?
I am saying that you are one stupid person if you think a beltway is a sanitary napkin.
Ma'am, I was falling back on what I knew because I'm not college educated.
Well, why don't you get a dictionary?
Ma'am, could you repeat something for me?
I can.
Jed, get your butt out of the cement pot and wash up for dinner.
That's right.
Okay.
Are we on the subject here?
No,
we're not on the subject.
Well, this lady wants to make fun of me.
But I understood what he said.
No, she's trying to make fun of me.
I am not making fun of you.
Yes, you are, ma'am.
I am telling you that you are stupid, and if you don't understand anything, get you a dictionary or go to your public library and look it up.
Ma'am.
If not, threat to the radio announcers to explain every little thing to you.
But, ma'am, when they say sniper, and I assume that it's an animal of some kind because
now,
I grew up...
That's what I said. I am 69 years old.
Yes, ma'am.
I know what the sniper is without going to a dictionary.
Ma'am, you don't think that that's an animal of some kind?
No, I don't.
Well, I find that hard to believe.
Well, wait a minute. This woman has lived many years. She knows what a sniper is. For God's sake, you live in modern times, you know what a sniper is.
Mr. Henry, I'm not a college-educated man like this lady is and you
are. I am not college-educated. I graduated from high school in 1952.
All right, now
so I'm 50 years ago and have not been back to school since.
Okay, but where...
Now, I know what sniper is. I know what utility vans are. I know what a beltway is. Without even going to a dictionary, I got that much.
Because sense. You're a woman and you know it's a sanitary napkin, but as a man, I don't know that.
I did not say a beltway was a sanitary napkin. A beltway is a road around the town.
You're saying you're claiming it's a road around someone's town.
That's right.
Ma'am, where'd you get your PhD?
I don't have a PhD.
Well, where did you go to college is what I'm
saying. I did not go to college. That's what I say.
Right,
I finished high school.
You didn't graduate.
That's all, but I've got more sense than you seem to have had.
Ma'am, I have two children, Steve Jr. and April.
I've got three and two great-grandchildren, too.
All right.
But that doesn't mean that I'm stupid like you claim and everybody in the nation is.
Ma'am, when they said Chief Moose, and they don't tell you it's going to be a police officer.
Well, I know what a chief is.
You know what a moose is.
I know what a moose is.
Okay.
But I know when the two are combined, it doesn't mean an animal.
It doesn't mean a cartoon character?
It does not.
What does head moose mean?
Head moose?
Yes, ma'am.
A head moose is a head of an organization.
What?
The Moose Club.
Oh, the Moose Club, right, okay. So now we're getting closer to what I've been talking about.
Well, I know that, but that don't mean that
we have
stupid.
Ma'am, I've got two moose clubs in the Corona, California area. I moved here from Knoxville, Tennessee. The head moose, and I called him, what would you think if I said the chief moose, and he said Bullwinkle? Okay.
I didn't say. A head moose and a chief moose is something different.
All right, but the head moose is the head of a moose club. The chief moose could be Bullwinkle. Am I right or am
no.
I wrong? Oh, come on, ma'am, because...
You're
no,
saying
no.
Chief moose could never be Bullwinkle.
No.
All right,
when
ma'am.
When you say Bullwinkle, it's just Bullwinkle. It's no title to his name.
He does not have any title.
No, Bullwinkle is Bullwinkle. He never was called the Chief Moose.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected.
I hope you are, because, like I say, the average American in this United States is not what you are portraying them to be.
All right, I'm a member of the Corona California Mooses, and I thought the Chief Moose was the head of the head moose.
No, he's the head moose.
But the Mooses of America may have an argument with you on that.
What do you mean, the Mooses of America?
It's an organization, sir. The lady knows about it.
I also know about the Elk Club, too, but...
Oh, that Elk Club, don't say that around me. Don't say Elk Club around me, because I get violent.
There's a bunch of animals running around.
I get violent when I hear Elk Club. No, Mooses of America. All right, okay, so I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah. Now, one other thing. Do you think Peter Jennings is trying to make me look stupid?
No. It's you that's stupid because you don't understand the terms, and you did not take the time to go look them up or try to find out what they meant.
Now, you went to the University of Georgia?
No, I did not.
What year did you graduate?
She never went to college. She went to high school in 1952, she just said.
Well, a moose can kick an elk's ass.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
1-800-449-8666. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.